The following presentation was recorded at a Faith Builders colloquy. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
It's a challenge to think about the teaching methods of Jesus and compare them with the methods I normally use in teaching. And it was a little startling, a little unnerving, to look at his methods with the idea that maybe I could use some of those, or that I should. I'd never thought about it before. One reason I thought that perhaps I didn't have to give a whole lot of attention, because I didn't think there was much comparison. He was God. And for instance, I hadn't done any miracles, didn't think I was capable of doing miracles. And what better attention-getting illustration than a miracle? When you read the Gospels, you get the very real sense that there was a lot going on in Jesus' audience, in his classroom, if you will. You know, we talk today sometimes about buzz groups, and this isn't exactly what a buzz group was, but when Jesus was moving around talking, he was doing a lot of walking, and as he walked, you get the very real sense that over here is one group, and they're saying, what did he mean by that? What did he say? What did you hear? And over here's another group, and they're wondering the same thing, perhaps a little different way. But everybody was thinking, listening, or talking, or discussing, or asking questions. And if you teach, you know how much you just love to see that kind of response all the time to what you say, to what you are doing or creating in your classroom. And so we look at Jesus' ministry, and we're looking at the how in these next few moments. We've talked a lot this weekend about the whys and the what fors, but we're looking at the how. I think we do that because Jesus, as we hear so often in Christian and non-Christian people alike, he was the greatest teacher that ever lived. And so he's a model in that sense. He was effective. Most people would acknowledge that Jesus' teaching, whether he was God or not, they would say that he was effective. Secondly, we believe that he was God. And what better person to go to think about teaching people than the one who made people, the one who wired us the way we are? He certainly would have been effective in his teaching because he made us. And I think one of the more exciting things about that has been that Jesus also calls us. He said, now, you go teach. And remember, I'm with you. I am with you. So we go in Jesus' place. Paul says that we're ambassadors. We're ministers of reconciliation. So we want to look this morning at the methods of Jesus. And I do want to involve you. I would like to have some discussion. And I'd like to do that in the form of groups. We've been doing a lot of listening. I'd like to involve you in a little bit. And I'd like to have you basically look at two things in your groups. I'd like for you to identify the top 10. Maybe you only get 6 or 8. But identify the top 10 methods Jesus used to communicate his message. And I'd like for you to include an illustration of each one. And then, as you think through those, try to determine what was the primary, the number one method that Jesus used in his teaching. Okay, there's a lot of us in the room here. And in looking over the audience here, I thought that perhaps if you would imagine a line going down the middle of each section here on either side, and if you would just for instance, these first two rows, like from Janelle over and from Miss Good there, if you would turn and those two rows, you'd be one group. And over here at the other end, these two rows, you'd be a group. And the next two rows, you're the same thing. And you'll have to shuffle a little bit just to make those work. But I'd like for you to divide that way. And then each group needs to have a reporter, someone who takes notes. And I'd like then, after we spend a few minutes doing this, I'd like for you then to be prepared to tell us three of the methods that you came up with. Just tell us three, and be sure to tell us what the primary method was, and then we'll come back and talk about those a little bit as an entire group. Okay? Any questions?
All right. Go ahead and divide up into your groups, and we'll give you about 15 minutes to do this. I'll leave this up on the overhead so you can refer to it.
Take a few moments and let you tell the rest of us what you came up with. When you do report that, I'd like to have you stand and speak as clearly as possible, and if necessary, I will repeat that. We'll also turn the fan off for this. All right, perhaps we'll begin over here. If you would want to begin, and we'll move next to you, then we'll just each time move to the next group in that order. So whoever is reporting for this group.
Parables definitely was one method, and the illustrations in parables was one method that Christ used. Also the discipling in relationships, especially with disciples, and then also with people that would come up out of that after. I'm sure you did a lot of that. Also in the way he illustrated what he was talking about at the time, he was talking about the time with the children, when he had the children around him, and his disciples bringing him, and he said, it's okay. Having around him, what he's doing at the moment illustrated what he's talking about. And this is a little vague, but the primary method he used, we thought, but everything that he didn't just come and say, okay, this is how you're going to experience what God really has for you to say, boom, 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 and give four definite steps. But instead, he stirred up people's minds and hearts. And by everything he said to them, he did, they were all left wondering what this man was about. And he caused them.
And how did you decide that he did that? That he caused them to question? Are you saying as a whole, or are you thinking of one method?
No, it seems to involve all of them.
Okay, okay. Did you try to decide what method in what particular one was that he used the most?
I don't think
so. Okay. Okay. Now it's a good observation. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. The next group. Okay, thank you. Next group. And the primary one that you decided he used was? Okay. All right. If you think about it, what we can come back to. Okay, the next group.
Okay.
Yes, that's fine.
And I think we decided that the primary method would be to use the
object lesson, that mustard seed, after illustrating that small amount of faith amounts to saved faith, and at the same time in our heart to hold something, beginning of faith, our other expression still maintaining faith. Dramatic expression that comes into the class.
By dramatic expression, do you mean like lecture?
No. Anywhere from running on the ground, woman in adultery.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
But it's doing something dramatically. It's doing something unexpected, surprising.
Okay.
Class, so something he doesn't want.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
I guess we can draw this over. Examples. One was examples in nature, examples in living. The parables here and stood together under a example. And the other one was startling examples. He was articles. People being amazed at his truth and also receiving his authority.
Mm-hmm.
And another general feature in that was question and answer, his answer. Question and answer, the people's answer, some reason and increasing. Also challenging them with a question. I don't really know. I guess maybe the question and answer method is which is fun or anything.
Okay. Thank you. Back over here.
Reading the word, showing how the actions take the role. Miracles we find out guess on the feet of the boy, confrontation and direct confrontation writing on the ground. Pray for students and talk enterprise. And a great example in actions, in other words, what's now, and if you talk enterprise.
And what was the primary again? I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay, next. Back over here on this side.
We talk through parables, story time. We talk through the example, and the second one, we talk through the illustration, things like the history of women, other ways,
okay. All right, next. Let's just come over here to this side on this end. Whoever was in this group here. Todd, your group. Oh, you were with that one. Okay, how about Richard, your group? Okay. John. Okay. Come over here to this side. Yes.
I felt that might be the primary. That whole life, asking questions. And if there are other lessons, or others.
Okay, thank you. Over here.
One of his methods was that he addressed felt and unfelt needs. Depending on the situation, and one situation that gives you some of that variety is the woman who's caught in adultery. For the woman who's compassionate, caring, is addressing some of those needs, it is also spoke very directly forceful in their lives because they're refusing them. Another one is that to use teachable moments as a springboard. One we thought of was the time the disciples were arguing about who would have the greatest place in the kingdom. We use that to teach them about true servanthood. And then the one we thought was the most significant was that we used familiar experiences and terms to launch his teaching. All from that, we took up one of those stories.
Okay, thank you. Over here.
Excuse me. We have quite a list here. We tried to come up with our three primary methods. He had a great ability to communicate to different and different groups of people. And for an illustration between his disciples wanted to turn his children away.
Thank you. Okay, next over here. Okay, thank you. Over here.
Some that we picked out were stories, including illustrations and parables. We decided that was perhaps the primary method we used. Hands-on activities, sending the disciples out into a story life, sending them out to our community. And mentoring. Having disciples with him every day for months, he taught them by his life.
Good. And what did you say was the primary one?
Stories.
Stories. Okay, thank you. Okay, over here.
Three methods were the question asking, such as who you meant to say that I am, what were you talking about in the way, and another was test. Another way is being a model of humility, just watching their feet. And the primary itself was the story of parable, 45 parable. Perhaps because truth can only be known as living, as it's in action. So we showed the illustrated truth, living truth.
Good. Okay, over here.
The three that we chose, one that he used was humor. But he never stated the case through some of his teachings. One example being camel bones to God and evil. And there's other examples where this is obviously interesting, but he's trying to make a point. Another other was identifying people's needs, and which we felt was pretty significant too. Another he always used a known point of reference, something that people could relate to, and mentioned he talked about things from the Old Testament, but this is what everybody had studied, and they knew about that. And he used that as a point of reference to then go on and teach about a new way, a different way. So he connected what they knew to what he wanted to teach them. And the primary method, which is kind of general and included much of his life, but we decided that his primary method of teaching was by example, by his life. And in some ways that, well, all of his teaching grew out of that, but in some ways that was a teaching method for him as well. So we were trying to decide to do that, but didn't quite figure it all out. But, that's what chose the primary.
All right, thank you. Over here.
One method they used was a tendency. At the time, the disciples tried to get out the devils, and then they could, and they came to him and said, well, he was healthier, and he did. And then they asked, why couldn't he? It was a tendency, they didn't try, they didn't do what he did. And then he was then using metaphors. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like mustard seed, all sorts of things. And metaphors, he talked about hair, he let on the hair of the fox. And then he used sermons. This was his primary method during the first part of his ministry, sermons or lectures, which is Matthew 5 or 7, sermon on the mount. And the second part of his ministry, his primary method was stories and parables, which is what Jesus himself rejected and the Pharisees didn't want to listen to him. So, parables.
Okay, well, thank you. Let me just show you what we have come up with here. I think a clear number one here in terms of the methods that Jesus used was story. Jesus used story. That 65% of Jesus' time was spent telling stories, at least as it's recorded in Scripture. His teaching time, at least, was spent telling stories. Okay? Illustrations, I put similes with that. This one is basically questioning, asking questions. A number of you mentioned his life as a foundation, or that I connect that with example, or mentoring, discipling, use out of his own life. We have about quite a few there. We have lecture. Quite a few mentioned that. Miracles, rebuke and confrontation, visuals, object lessons, one-on-one discussion. Using the unexpected or the dramatic or the startling. Discussion of all kinds. And then talked about teaching us to pray. Talked about the project, which that's an interesting one that we perhaps don't use enough. A project is unique in that people go out to try something, to do something, and it's a good way to discover what you don't know. Now, if you just think of the example that someone gave over here about the disciples going out and trying to cast this demon out, they couldn't do it. So they came back and said, Jesus, why can't we do this? Okay, that was a powerful learning moment. Also, when Jesus sent them out two by two, they came back rejoicing that they were able to do the things they were able to do. It was a learning moment. It was also a moment where Jesus could say, well, you're rejoicing in the wrong thing. And so projects can be great tools for learning moments. Some mentioned test. Using humor or overstatement. And then several of you mentioned Jesus speaking to needs. Let's look at the primary, the list of primary, and I'm not sure I caught all of these accurately. But there's what I came up with. From the list there, it looks like story. I think our list of primary there reflects what the Gospels indicate in that it was primarily story. However, there was a lot of question and answer. Certainly his life provided a foundation, and it was a method as well. And then lecture and preaching. We could say, if we include story, we could say that lecture was primary, because Jesus was telling, and in that telling he would use stories to communicate. How about your classroom? Whether it's Sunday school, whether it's your living room, whether it is your job, your Sunday school, what kinds of methods? How often do you use the startling, the unexpected? Illustrations, examples. Interesting thing about Jesus' stories were that 90% of them were imaginative. In other words, as far as we know, they were fiction. How many of us stand in front of our classroom and just spin a yarn? Just tell a story and keep and make a point with it and draw people in. Notice that Jesus told stories. When someone asked him, what's the kingdom of heaven like? He didn't say, well, it's these three things. Number one, it's this. Number two is, and he told it, well, it's like this. And if the people, at least I still have this response, that I'm still left thinking, okay, but what? And so I have to think about the story. And I have to go and become, in a sense, become the lady looking for the lost coin. And re-enter that story and say, what is it about what she was experiencing in that story that conceptualizes the kingdom of God? And so I'm pulled into the story and I have to think about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus never interpreted that. He simply gave the story. Here's what it's like. And left us thinking, wrestling with that. 90% imagination. Stories that he just made up. That's a challenge to me. Do any of you have any comments? Anything you'd like to observe or a question you'd like to ask for discussion here? I have a few minutes. Anything you'd care to add? Remember, as a, I'm sorry, Jonas.
Just one comment is that it is apparent that the message he chose, to a great extent, matched the situation in which he found himself. The number of people present, and the surrounding circumstances. So he didn't try to use a sermon when he brought the woman to his daughter.
Good. Notice what Jesus did when he fed the 5,000. And then when the disciples, when they were going across the lake and the storm came up, Jesus was sleeping in the boat. Jesus connected. The Bible says that the disciples didn't understand the connection between what Jesus had done. Jesus said, don't you have any faith? Their hearts were hardened. They hadn't seen, they hadn't made the connection between who Jesus was, what he's able to do, as a result of what they had seen with the loaves and the fishes. And so Jesus was disappointed at that moment. And so he made some connections there out of his life, some examples. I want to make a connection with what Jonas mentioned yesterday, method. Jonas said that there is no technique, there's no method that will guarantee, I think I'm misquoting, that will guarantee your effectiveness as a teacher. Is that the gist of it? And we look at what Jesus used here, and for instance, Jonas already raised one. Jesus used them in relation to the situation. And so we can't just grab one technique and run with it and think it's always going to fit. Primarily, and a number of you mentioned this, that Jesus' life was the foundation for what he did. All of these things grew out of what He knew his mission was, what he knew about the people, what he understood about the situation, and what he understood about the fact of what was true. And so I know that I found as a teacher that I can go into a classroom with a technique that I'm sure will work. But if it doesn't really fit with who I am and with how I teach, the method doesn't work. It has to grow out of who I am. At least I find out that I have some growing to do myself before I can really do that well. And so it really is foundational that we consider who Jesus was and how that affected what he was able to do. Story is told of a group of people who came together for a one-week seminar, and they called in a number of prominent speakers, and everyone was giving their perspective on this particular subject, purpose of the seminar. And at one point in the middle of the week, they called in an actor to do a monologue. He was just supposed to do a presentation. And it was gripping to the audience. And at the end of the week, they had a panel comprised of all the people who had participated in this week. And different questions were given to the panel. And late in the discussion, the person in the back of the audience says, I have a question. He says, how's come, out of everything that happened this week, what we remember most is what the actor did? Of course, the actor had been sitting there all along with these people who very prominently feeling a little bit out of place. And the actor said, well, yes, I think I can answer that question. He said, my job was to present fiction as if it were true. Said these people presented truth as if it were fiction. Now, that story isn't so much about the fact that we should use acting. I'm not saying that at all. What I do want us to remember is that the way we present our material, is it presented as truth, as life-giving, as the most important thing, or is it presented as if it were fiction? Perhaps we get stuck doing things the same way all the time. I think the important thing to remember here is that communication is relational. In other words, I take what is true, I take what God is doing in my life and the lives of people around me, and I communicate that to my students. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon, for leading in that discussion. I could not help but think of Ezekiel and Jeremiah and a couple of those different people when we were discussing the need for uniqueness and the dramatic. Read the book of Ezekiel sometime. One of my friends one time, he was thinking that he should address the issue of dress length. And so he didn't do this, but he threatened to, and I was afraid he was going to, and he didn't. He said, I'm gonna cut off my pants legs just right about knee level and come walking into class. He didn't do it. That was probably good. But I thought immediately when he told me that, I thought, well, that's just something like Ezekiel would have done. They kept walking into something really, really dramatic and really out of place, and everybody had been almost scared to ask, what'd you do that for? What's this about? Yeah, it has a way of kind of letting an impression on you.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit christianlearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.